Welcome to this episode of the Making Money Simple podcast. I'm joined by Jasper from Jasper Invest today to talk about a topic that's very important and impacts your returns, but you probably don't know about it. Being a UK investor, if you invest into US index funds or ETFs, such as the S&P 500, you actually may not get the same return as US investors invested into those same index funds and ETFs. You probably don't know about this. I know I didn't know too much about it until seeing Jasper's tweets about it recently. So I wanted to get him on the podcast to talk about it in a bit more detail. Before we get into it though, Jasper, thanks for coming on. How are you doing, mate?
No worries. Cheers for the invite. Yeah, I'm good. First podcast. So yeah, fun. Keen to get going.
Big debut.
Jealous of Australia. I really need to get back there.
Yeah, that is good over here. Time zones makes it a bit more difficult to record the podcast, but we've still managed to do it internationally. So where did you want to start? So I know you mentioned as a quick example, in 2023, the S&P 500 returned 23% for US investors, but 17% for UK investors. So a 6% difference, which is obviously quite a lot in one single year. Do you want to like go into that in a bit more detail on how this sort of works?
Yeah, so it's actually 1% different than that. So for US investors in 2023, it returned 24.7%, which is a pretty decent year, like considering everything. But then in the UK, it was 18% or just over. So 6% is quite a big, or 6.5% is quite a big difference, like over any year, really. But the main difference, I think, was what caused it was because the pound gained 5.2% over the dollar. So the exchange rate actually makes a much bigger difference, especially over the short term, than people think. And it's actually not just S&P 500 or index funds or anything either. It's if you buy Amazon, Google, Facebook, all the different stocks like that, they're all denominated in US dollars. So although they might return 100% for the year, the exchange rate actually makes a difference when you convert. Every time you buy, in fact, I'll explain that this. Every time you buy into an overseas fund, stock, anything, it converts your pound into US dollars. So you are instantly liable to that exchange rate as well as what the actual fund returns, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit later, if you want, about how you can actually mitigate it. I don't personally do it, but I mean, we can get into that in a bit if you want.
Yeah. So yes, because in any given year, obviously 6%, 6-7% is quite a big difference. So, and I guess the main thing, as you mentioned then, is that the fact is when you buy, so as an example, the S&P 500 in the UK, the main fund that people use is VUSA, which is the S&P 500 ETF. Another example is VUAG. But when you actually buy those through Vanguard, as you said, listed on the London Stock Exchange, your pounds and then converted into dollars, and then those dollars then buy the US companies. And that essentially is then where the difference can come as compared to a US person who's earning in dollars and then investing into the S&P 500. They don't need to pay that FX fee essentially. So that's what's caused the difference in the 2023 returns when you look at UK investors versus US investors.
Yeah, I actually think some platforms, it might be, I've not used Trading 212, so I can't really talk about it, but I actually think that they've got a section that shows like the conversion fee and different things like that. And you might actually be able to change the returns on there to see what it would have been in US and what it would have been in pounds. But I'm not on there, so I can't actually guarantee that. But pretty much if you buy on Vanguard, say you invest in the VUSA S&P 500 ETF, that isn't currency hedged. So as soon as you purchase on Vanguard, Vanguard will take your pounds, they will convert them into US dollars, and they will buy the 500 or 505 companies that are within the S&P 500 index. So then you'll hold it for what, a year, 2 years, hopefully way longer than that if you are a long-term investor. For me, it's 20 plus years minimum, but nice. We'll talk more on that in a bit. But if you... So you hold it for this entire period, and then when you decide to sell, Vanguard will then convert, it'll sell the US stocks and convert those US dollars back into pounds. And then that obviously then gets withdrawn out to your bank account. And the actual returns that it's made year to year are impacted by the exchange rate. If the pound has grown loads over the 10 years that you've been investing, your returns are not going to be as good because your money was in US dollars the entire time.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, because I know, and I guess all of that, the FX rate movements are just another thing that are out of our control when it comes to investing. But it's interesting to know how that can impact our returns. I essentially was thinking then, and I know we spoke before we started recording, of two ways to potentially mitigate this FX issue, whether it even is worth trying to mitigate. I know you said that you don't mitigate it yourself. The first idea I had was, is it worth a UK investor going straight to the source and investing in a fund that's US denominated? Or is that still the same issue just because you still need to get your pounds into dollars?
Yeah, so if you wanted, let's say for instance, you wanted to buy SPY, which is the US equivalent of VUSA, I think you can do it on some brokerages like Interactive. I think it's called Interactive Brokers.
I think
I'm not.
Trading212, I had a quick look. They also have SPY. SPY as well.
I think if you do that, you're just going to be liable to the same. I think it's going to be exactly the same as if you just bought VUSA. There might even be more fees involved. I think the only way that you can properly mitigate it, other than a currency hedged ETF, is if you were a US resident just investing with US dollars, which I don't want to move
We're
there. So
not.
that's
Yeah.
not really my issue. I mean, I can touch a little bit on like the actual, I'm not an expert on the currency hedged ETFs. I know roughly how they work, but it's kind of like they have two options. They either use forward contracts where they lock in an exchange rate until a future date, or you just buy a currency neutral derivative, which is an option, or a swap, which is not something that I'm really interested in doing. Like
Yeah.
over the long enough period, like I've looked it up, and I think if you invest for over 15 years, the maximum sort of difference it can have is about 3%, like on average. So
Which over like 15 years, that's not actually much. The min impact per year then over the long term is pretty minimal. Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. The second idea I had in terms of how to mitigate the risk would be to go and buy a hedged version of VUSA or the S&P 500, for example. So do you want to like maybe explain a little bit what that means? That essentially just means that they then, yeah, as you mentioned, hedge the essentially the FX rate. And it also, we're talking here about how 2023 was a bad year for UK investors investing in the US, but there's also plenty of examples where it's been the other way around. So it can be good, it can be bad for UK investors investing overseas. It depends how I guess international FX rates move. But yeah, so the idea with the hedged version of an ETF is that essentially the currency risk is mitigated, right?
yeah, pretty much they just forward trade it, so they've locked in a certain exchange rate until a date into the future, and that's basically how they bet against it. But you find with quite a lot of these currency hedged ETFs, the fees are actually quite a bit higher.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Reasons why I'm not 100% keen on it. I mean, I think if anyone invests on Vanguard, they know that it's because the fees are pretty low. So I'm quite hesitant to like go for that, but it is also the fact that I'm a bit stubborn anyway, so I wouldn't really want to sell everything now and put it into a currency hedged
Yeah.
ETF, wait it out over the decades.
Yeah. No, that's a good point about the fees, actually. I didn't think about that. I do remember as well looking into the hedged funds because. And it's as you said with the contracts, derivatives, forwards, it's much more technical. I don't understand how that works. I assume that they do it so there's no FX risk. But yeah, that comes with a higher fee. And obviously that fee, you said there's a 3% difference roughly over the 15 years. The higher fee may even just erode that difference even more so. So the difference almost probably like approaches close to zero.
I think the more like technical aspect there is to a fund, the more expensive the actual fee is going to be. Like the more involved a person or whatever it is, it's like analysis is, the higher the fee is going to be, pretty much. It
Yeah,
that's the same with everything,
that's
unfortunately.
true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so we've sort of gone through the basics then, and also a couple of potential ways to mitigate it if people want to, but they may not need to mitigate it. And I know you had some like data from previous years and some sort of like history and charts and graphs to go through. So Should we just like run through that? And then I guess we've sort of gone through the basics, but we can give people listening a more broader sort of view of this issue. I mean, not really an issue, but of this sort of point that we're making.
Yeah, so if you only invest for the short term, let's say for instance that you wanted to get into the S&P 500 for 1 year, and which is not a very big time scale, and I wouldn't recommend it. But the biggest sort of swings that it's had due to the exchange rate has been like 41.8% difference between US return and GBP return, which is 41.8% is pretty massive.
That's
And
mental.
that was back in 1985, 1986, when I think inflation and stuff was going pretty crazy anyway. But US investors got like 30%, UK investors lost 8%.
And that was
And that's
in the 80s.
so, yeah, and that was the 80s. So people like on Twitter, for instance, that wouldn't know that the exchange rate makes a big difference, they'll be thinking, oh, great, we've made 30% this year. But really, actually lost 8%. So obviously, if they were checking their portfolio, they would hopefully see. But if they invested in for a year and didn't even check their portfolio, they might think that they've got 30% if they didn't know about these currency risks. So it can be pretty crazy. But I mean, I can touch on, if you want, some of the like past returns since, well, I've got some data from 2016 through till 2022, which
Yeah,
might
because
be useful.
I know we also mentioned that Brexit in 2016 had a pretty hefty benefit. So far we've been talking about the negatives for UK investors in 85 and 2023, but there also can be pretty big benefits. So yeah, do you want to run through that data as well? That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, as a fellow UK investor, we always want to hear about the tailwind years. So 2016 in the US was a 12% return, which is pretty good. It's above the average. But for UK-based pound investors, it was over 33%, which is quite a big difference. Like you
Massive.
get tailwind. So that was obviously the Brexit year. And I haven't actually looked at the chart, but I'm assuming it's because the US dollar gained quite a lot of strength over the pound in that one particular year.
Yeah.
But then it came back to bite in 2017 because we got 11%, which is still pretty good, but the US got just under 22%. So, yeah, it shows how it's just
Yeah,
dead up.
yearly swings. I guess it is mental how much FX rates can impact the returns that we get as UK investors in any given year.
Yeah, the closest since 2016 that we're looking at has been 2021, where the US got 28.7%, and we just about beat them with 29.9%. So it can on some years be close, but then on other years it can be massively different. And I think more people need to sort of learn this, basically. I was quite surprised when I did a video on TikTok about it, and loads of people in the comments were saying, oh no, everything on my portfolio is in pounds. It's like, well, yeah, they're going to calculate it based on pounds, but the actual underlying asset is in dollars, unless it's currency hedged. So
Yeah.
they seem to do quite well, them videos. So I might do another one at
Go
some point.
viral. No, so
Yeah.
no, that's interesting. So I guess probably the bottom line is the short term is volatile, which don't get me wrong, the short term in the stock market in general in any given year is volatile. And this FX rate aspect is also volatile and adds another layer of sort of volatility. So the bottom line is, if you're going to be investing, of course, invest for the long term. But then, specifically on this FX rates variance year on year, over the long term, there's actually minimal impact, right? Being a UK investor investing in US or overseas funds or stocks.
Yeah, so historically, GBP USD exchange rate has actually always tended to balance out and be quite stable. So as long as that continues, which is what I am hoping, hopefully should mitigate the risks for pretty much whether you're in a currency hedged ETF or not, or you're just in a standard one. It should hopefully just balance out over the long period. It's a bit like everyone on Twitter sort of rips into forex traders, but in a way, we're all actually forex traders, aren't we? Like that's the way I'm seeing,
I'm one
especially
of
when
those
you.
people that, like, when people message me on Instagram from time to time, being like, hey, bro, have you considered FX trading? I'm like, mate, look at my page. That is the opposite of what I've talked about for years and years. But when you put it like that, actually, I guess everyone is in, unless you literally invest only in UK stocks, which of course is a bad thing to do because you're not very diversified. You need to be like ideally globally diversified. Then you are, as you say, just betting on FX rates, which have been stable for obviously like, I guess like a century plus. Hopefully it stays that same for the next century.
So we say that, but see, I didn't know this either, but 71% of the FTSE 100 revenue is from overseas. So it actually is similar risk. It's
Oh,
not
yeah.
like they're not earning in GBP. This, I mean, it's not a problem because it's helping valuations, everything, but this is kind of the problem with the globalization that every like business can operate anywhere in any currency, and
Yeah.
they can take payment in any currency, so that pretty much every business at the minute is like kind of exposed to it, and there's not really anything that they can do about it. But
Yeah, no,
yeah.
that's interesting actually. So I also know that I think roughly the S&P 500, half of the revenues from those 500 companies come from overseas. So as you sort of say, you actually almost can't really avoid the FX risk, which I guess is why, and we can probably quickly touch on now, that we don't actually mitigate the risk in the ways that we've talked about. I know for myself personally, I mainly invest into global funds, which of course global funds also have similar FX risks. If not, it's even more complicated because you're investing into dozens, if not hundreds of countries around the world. So it's even more complicated. But yeah, I personally use an unhedged global index fund in most of my investment accounts. And I think, yeah, you said you also invest into unhedged index funds and ETFs. So we're actually not mitigating that this risk that we talk about.
Yeah, I actually think that from looking at global funds, they've naturally got a bit more of a hedging mechanism within it because there's so many different currencies. I actually think that it actually helps. It's not like it's just GBP against the dollar. I actually think that it's naturally a bit more hedged anyway, and it's tough to say like without actually looking at it. I tried to find some data on it, but there's just nowhere near as much as with the S&P 500. I'm not really sure why, but and with VWRL, which is the global one that I think we're both in on Vanguard, there's not really a direct comparison like in the US. I think VT is the closest, or VTI, I'm not sure which one it
Yeah,
is
that rings a
closest that
bell.
you can get to it, but I think there is some like differences on what companies they invest in. Like whether it's small, large, or what, I'm not really sure. There is some slight differences, I think. So it's hard to find like direct comparisons, but
What I'm hearing is, though, another pro for global funds. So I'll take that. That's what I talk about a lot. So I'm always glad to hear that because global funds haven't had as good returns the last 10 or 15 years compared to specifically US funds. So I'll take the small wins when they come around.
yeah, that's actually a good point as well. Like the S&P 500, everyone like sort of dives into it, but the global one is probably in a better position because the S&P 500 has had the best run in history, and global fund is what 60, I think something like 60% of it is, or I can't remember the exact
Yeah,
percent.
that's right. It's around, it depends on, it's around 58 to 62%. So essentially 60% is bang on. Yeah. Depends on a
Yeah.
specific global fund, but around 60% in US stocks, give or take a few percent normally.
So given the fact that the S&P has had like the best run in like decades, maybe even a century, I don't really know. I've not looked that much into it. Like I think the global is in a good position to actually capitalize on growth in other areas outside of the US that the S&P 500 might not get as much of.
I'm glad to hear that as well.
I was thinking that like China or something is going to at some point really be a bit more of a dominating force and even catch up the US, maybe. I don't really
Yeah.
know, but
That's
that's just.
sort of, yeah, obviously sort of going a little bit off topic, but I'm happy to speak on that because essentially that's my exact philosophy of investing. I don't know which country is going to perform the best over the long term, which is why I just have a global index fund. And if the US continues to dominate, then I'm fine because the US will keep giving me good returns. But then if China or India or some other emerging markets also perform strongly and outperform the US, then they will then grow more inside the global fund. I'm sort of fine either way. So This is
That's the
reinforcing my investing approach.
it's the beauty of index funds and ETFs, really, isn't it? The fact that they're self-lubricating and they just, if one like sort of economy or even company within the S&P starts performing better, then it'll naturally increase the weighting of it. And I made a joke quite a while ago on Twitter. I think I said something like, I love index funds because they wipe their own arse. It's basically what they do. If something isn't performing very well, they'll throw it out and they'll get another company in that is. And
That is
it's the same
brilliant.
with the global fund. The fact that they'll pull in, if China start doing better, then they'll pull in a few more of their stocks, get rid of some of the US ones or whatever's not performing. It's just constantly like self-lubricating. I think that's the beauty of it, really. It's just so easy.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
It's almost too easy. And that's why people don't really do it because they think, oh no,
It's too, yeah.
just a computer all day and trade on the charts if that's what you want to, if that's how to make money. And it's like, well, no,
Yeah.
not.
It's mental, isn't it? So I mean, on this whole FX sort of thing we've been talking about, was there anything else you want to touch on? Or have we covered, I know we've gone through obviously ways to mitigate it, which probably aren't great ways to mitigate it. The bottom line probably is continue doing what you're already doing as a UK investor, buy in obviously US funds and US stocks and global funds. But be aware that in the short term, your returns will be impacted, often, as history shows, can be by 20, 30, 50%. But and that's either way, it could be a benefit or a disadvantage. Depends on how the FX rates move. But then over the long term, the actual impact is negligible, really. And if you're holding investments as you should be, hopefully for 10, 20, 30 plus years, hopefully till you die and then to pass them on to other generations, then the FX rates are going to be an increasingly small factor. And even though I've gone into quite a detailed podcast on it now, and it's good for people to know, there's probably really going to be no impact over the long term for most people.
Yeah, I did find one chart which might actually be interesting. I'm gonna question you on what you think. So in 2003, it's a chart from 2003 up till, it says year to date 2023. So I don't actually know what point of the year it was, but it shows if you invested £1,000 in the S&P 500, it's just a line chart. It's got the S&P return in US dollars and the S&P return in British
Oh,
pounds. So which one do you think won? 2003, 2023, at some point.
I feel it's got to be the US dollar. Well, I feel like it's too obvious, but it's got to be the US dollar, surely. That being like the global economy and superpower, or maybe because their currency was so strong, it meant that the pound. Oh, okay, I'll go with the US dollar.
It was actually the British pound return.
Oh. Knew that was too obvious to be USD.
Yeah, but I actually think that that's a win for us. So the S&P, so that basically means that I think the US dollar has got stronger, and I think it's showing the S&P return in British pounds as in for us. Not 100% on that,
So
but
what's
either
the
way.
difference out of interest? Is it quite close?
So it doesn't actually put the exact numbers on. It's got the numbers on the side, but it looks like it gets up to about. The US dollars one is about £8,000, and the British pound one is just under 10,000. So
Okay.
it's actually a 27% difference over, what's that, 19, 20 years worth of
Oh,
investing.
wow.
So a bit, but I mean, 1,000 up to 8 grand over 20 years is pretty decent.
Yeah. So if you had been investing, if anyone's listening to this who's in their maybe 30s or 40s or 50s who's been investing for a couple of decades into UK specific funds that track US stocks, you would have done better than the US investors. So congratulations.
Yeah, if you and just a point for you as well, if you want to wind up people on TikTok about your Vanguard and stuff, one of the videos that I put up, I basically worked out what my total return was in my Vanguard account since I started back in January 2018 is when I started. So obviously when you go into Vanguard, it tells you how much
Yeah.
you've made in profit. And then I divided that by the amount of months that I've been investing for. So it worked out how much profit on average per month I've made, like since back then. I basically posted that up, and yeah, people don't seem to like it. I got called a trust fund baby and all sorts, but
Oh,
it is You should definitely do a video on that because it gets something
Okay,
different.
I'll work it out. Yeah, it's all about the engagement. I don't care what people comment.
Notes to touch on. I think that was pretty much covered everything.
No, that's honestly, yeah, been even useful for me. 'Cause I knew like vaguely that FX rates don't really have much impact over the long term, but it was good to actually go into it in a bit more detail, look at some specific years, look at some specific examples, look at it over the longer term. So yeah, no, that was very helpful to go through. Hopefully people that listened have enjoyed it as well and most likely learned something new because I've never heard anyone, I've only heard you talk about this on Twitter. I've never really heard many people talk about this. I mean, maybe I'm just missing out on the podcast and the YouTube videos. But yeah, no, Jasper, thank you very much for coming on, mate.
Yeah,
Is there
no worries.
anything here you want? I know people can find you at Jasper Invests on your various social medias, but is there anything you want to shout out or plug here at the end before we wrap up?
No, I'm not selling anything at the minute. I'm all focused on a different business venture that I'm in. So everything that I post at the minute is free. Don't know. I do have a newsletter called The Dose of Knowledge, which I basically every Wednesday I send something out. It's at 6:30 UK time. It's on business, finance, or personal growth, pretty much anything, goal setting and whatever else. I mean, I know that's a hot topic at the minute with your New Year's resolutions.
No,
Yeah,
sounds good.
that's pretty much it.
No, perfect. Yeah, so go and check out Jasper's social media and the newsletter. And yeah, thank you everyone for listening. And Jasper, thanks again for coming on.
No worries. Thanks for having me.